Hello, my name is Dr. Christian Heim.
And my name is Dr. Caroline Heim.
We've got some exciting news.
We'll be talking about all things relationship.
All things relationship?
All things relationship.
That's a lot to talk about, Caroline.
Well, we've got a lot of talk shows to talk about it.
We have a lot of talk shows to talk about it, but what we are going to do is we're going to look at a study that has been done on relationships so that everything is backed by the science that we talk about here, and then we'll be looking at how you can apply some of that science into your life and into your relationship, and we will be looking at those relationship issues that perhaps we all come across and need a little bit of help in from time to time, Caroline.
Yeah, so it's really for people that are perhaps struggling in their relationship or want to make their relationship better, whether you're just starting out in a relationship, you're 20 years in, you're 50 years in. It's actually for anyone that's in a relationship, in a long-term relationship or wants to be in a long-term relationship.
And it's not only for people who are struggling, not only for people who are looking at a relationship, but if you're in a good relationship, hey, there's nothing wrong with making a good thing better.
Absolutely.
So we will see you, or you will hear us, on Friday night, 9 p.m.
Friday night, ET, so New York time, at 9 p.m.
Hello, I'm Dr. Christian Heim.
And I'm Dr. Caroline Heim.
And I'm a clinical psychiatrist.
And I'm an associate professor. Welcome to episode 8 of our Resilient Relationships talk show. We are so happy to have your company here. Now, this episode,
what are we talking about, Caroline?
We're going to be talking about listening.
Sorry, we're listening about talking? We're talking about listening?
Yeah, no, we're talking about listening, and we're going to really listen a lot here too.
Okay, all right. Sounds like a lovely topic. So, as always, what we're going to do is bring you some of the science and some of the stories from the couples. We'll also give you tips and techniques so that you too can actually be just a bit of a better listener.
Okay, so we are, yes, going to talk about, have a general talk on listening, and then we're going to give you some really specific techniques, actually a roadmap on listening, and we're even going to do a role play today, which will be kind of interesting, so we can actually show you what listening looks like, or you'll get to hear what listening looks like.
Okay, so that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Look, I want to let people know just how important listening is for a couple relationship. We're not born good listeners. Listening is actually a skill that we have to learn. In fact, you'll be forced to learn it if you live with somebody for a long period of time, because they'll have things to say, they'll have things that they have to get across to you, and that will take some listening. So we'll explore that along the way, because Caroline, I wasn't a great listener when we first met.
No, you weren't actually, and I sent you off to a listening course, didn't I, with a lifeline crisis counselling service. Then you became a very good listener. Well, you had to be a good listener to be a psychiatrist, though.
Well, that's true. It's become part of my life. And look, I'm really happy that it's become part of my life. It's become part of my life, not only professionally, also in our relationship, but also listening is something that I've done for music. Listening is something that you can do in the theatre, and listening is also something that helps solve problems and resolve conflict. So listening is actually an amazing thing for all of us.
It certainly is. And we actually found this out from our couples, from the large study that we did, because we actually asked them, you know, about conflict resolution styles and what do they actually do to resolve conflict. And the number one, they came up with 23 different responses, but the number one response was listening.
Okay, so just to clarify that, aside from our book, just in the last couple of months, Caroline and I have had an article published that is all about how couples handle conflict in their relationship, because all of society is actually beginning to look at what couples do to resolve conflict. So for the workplace, for politics, I don't know if we can do it internationally, but if we can learn from what couples do to stay together but resolve conflict, or at least handle conflict in the relationship, then we'll be better off as people. So what we did was we asked couples how they handle conflict, and as Caroline said, they came up with 23 different solutions, but the number one was listening.
Actually, I'd like to share some of those comments just to start off with, because they're really excellent, what they said about listening. I mean, these are people that have a lot of experience in listening and have gone through trials of perhaps not even listening to each other, like we had to go through a little bit. So some of the comments, this is actually from Peggy and Howard, who have been together for 48 years, who have learnt, as they said, to be quicker to say what they need and quicker to listen. And then there was a couple, John and Jan, who have been married 40 years. They said, first become a good listener before becoming a good narrator. Really listen to the emotions behind the words, even if it hurts. And Keith and Stephen, who have been together for 30 years, sort of echoed that in what they were saying. Understand the meaning behind the words and the emotion behind the words is very important in listening.
So let me just put listening into a bit of a context for a relationship. Imagine you've been in a relationship 2 years, 3 years, and you probably think that you talk together and you listen together, but actually when you live with somebody that close, you end up with different ways of talking, different dialogues. So the first one is just on the fly. When you're talking about logistics, I will see you later on this evening, or can you please get the kids to school, or could you do the shopping? That's all on the fly conversation. There are different times when you sit down in a couch or in a chair and you have a conversation. And a conversation is one person talking, one person listening, then the other person talking, and the other person listening. A different conversation is problem solving. Now, this is when the two of you get together and say, we've got to nut this out, and we've got to find out how we're going to make this budget balance. How are we going to do that? And it feels very different. Arguing is actually another type of conversation. It's a conversation with a lot of emotion behind it. And for some people, it means, louder voices. For some people, it means not talking for a while. But what's behind it is emotion and having to get back into relationship. Another one is romance, flirting. A couple will have their own special language that they use only with each other. They may call each other by pet names or just have a little twinkle in the eye when they refer to certain things. And that's a very private type of dialogue. But listening is actually different to all of those. Listening is when you actually, as one person, you sit yourself down and give yourself fully to be there for the other person, simply to understand what they need to get across to you. So I suppose I'm saying that to encourage you to look at the different dialogues that you have in your relationship and to see listening as something special, something that you've got to take a little bit of time for and just wall off as a different kind of an experience.
And I think that's really good. You've made the distinction between all of the different kinds of listening, but there are also things that listening is not. And one of the couples that we interviewed was talking about this problem in their relationship because of what he thought listening was. So I'm just going to give that quote and then you can speak to what listening isn't. So this is actually from George and Helen, who have been married for 48 years. And he said, listening wasn't quite so easy at home because I just wanted to solve problems. I wanted to fix it. So I had to learn. And Helen will allude to the fact that I may not have been overly successful.
So that is one thing that a lot of people think, that listening is to get information. And that becomes then part of the problem-solving process. But listening, as George said, was not there to do the problem solving. Listening is an end in itself. Actually, you're listening for emotions. You're listening for understanding. You're listening for connection. And a lot of people make the mistake that listening is the same as problem solving. But sometimes people just need you to listen to what they have to say and who they are.
And I think this is a really interesting dynamic in marriage, because even from our experience, and I've seen it with other couples, that, you know, the husband is, you know, wants to solve the problems and, and then we'll do this, we'll do that. And you know, and the wife will say, well, actually, no, I just really need you to listen.
So that's part of the reason that I said that there are all these different dialogues, so that we see it as different. And I want to use the analogy of listening to music, because the question is, how much talking do you do while you listen to music? And if you're really listening to music, like a Beethoven symphony, you don't talk at all. You're actually just there absorbing the music. So if you're listening to your partner, the idea is to be there to absorb it all, to shelve any judgments or beliefs that you may have, so that the other person is free just to have their ideas and their emotions wash over you, and you be there and actively drink all that in.
That's really great. And actually, elsewhere you've said that listening's listening. What have you said? Listening's a one-way street.
Oh yeah. Okay. So we're talking about what listening is not. So Helen and George were talking about how listening is not problem solving, because problem solving is another one of those different dialogues that people have. But listening is also not a conversation. Listening is a one-way street. Now, of course, in practice, you can't say absolutely nothing, or else the other person doesn't think that you're there. So when you listen, you aim to talk about 20% of the time and let the other person talk about 80% of the time, whereas ideally a conversation is about 50-50.
Yes, that's the way that it usually goes. That's right. Where should we go from here?
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about what listening does, and then I think we've got to get into giving some of the techniques, particularly that roadmap, so that people can feel confident that they can become a better listener. I have to say, though, it's not actually important that you listen well. It's important to be yourself, whoever you are in your relationship. And if you're not a great listener, that's fine. You can still have a great relationship.
Yes, exactly. And we often talk about this, a little bit of a joke, but we always say, you know, there's always someone in the couple that says, you know, you're not listening. And it's different in each culture. Sometimes they'll use it with nice pet words, like the Americans will say, "Honey, are you listening?" But the Brits will say, "Are you listening, love?" And what do we say in Australia, Christian? Come on.
Do you hear me or what?
Right. We're a little bit more brash here in Australia. Okay, all right. So let's move on from here then.
Okay. So I talked a little bit about listening to music. So there is a difference between hearing something, which is something that happens simply because you've got ears and your brain will register something. Then there's listening, where you pay it a bit of attention, but what we actually want is active listening. And active listening is where you pay your full attention to whatever it is. So listening to a Beethoven symphony or your favorite songs, where you're sitting down and doing nothing but absorbing that music, that's actually active listening. And active listening means that you are there, present, and you're going to just drink in the sound that's coming to you. So with your partner, it's actually just listening to the words, listening to their emotion, listening to their ideas, and not judging in your mind, "Oh, I don't agree with that. Yeah, that's all right. Oh, but why did she say that? Or why did he say that?" It is just going, okay, I'm starting to get this person. I'm starting to get what they're trying to get across to me.
Yes, so important that you don't have that sort of inner dialogue and the judgment going on in your head. And that's hard. That's hard to shut down in your own mind, because, you know, we're thinking, we're having all these responses, and sometimes they're angry responses or hurt responses even. Okay, so it's not easy to shut down that sort of talk going on in your head, though, Christian.
Well, it's actually a very difficult skill. And that's why, yes, we did some counseling courses so that we would be better listeners and so that we could help other people in a counseling way. And then when I became a psychiatrist, that became then even deeper. And look, it was Carl Rogers who in 1957 brought together that term of active listening. And to active listen is to do a whole lot more than just hear the words. It's to experience that whole person. And it's a gift to somebody else if you can actually listen.
It is. Listening is a gift you give to someone. And I think it's one of the love languages too. It's a very special skill, but it can be learnt.
It can be learnt. And because of that, we're going to share the Listening Ears Roadmap, which is a basic technique that everybody and absolutely anybody can learn so that they can become just a bit better at listening.
Okay, so we're going to jump right into that now, Christian. Yeah, let's go. Let's just jump right into that right now. So the listening is, Christian actually has an acronym for this, which I'll get him to go through. E, A, R, and S. So it's listening ears. It's really easy to remember. So let's start off with the E. What's the E, Christian?
So the E is environment. When you're going to listen to somebody, you need to establish an environment for easy talking and easy listening. So that means time and space. It means not being distracted by a phone or a computer or by other people. It means privacy. It means time. So if somebody says to you, look, I've really got to talk to you and you're about to go out somewhere, it's actually better to say, can we leave this till later, or does it have to be now? Because sometimes it can be now and sometimes it has to be later. But for the other person to get the feeling that you're actually there for them, you have to be there. You have to give that time of space, which means that you have to have that time and space. So the E is to establish an environment for easy talking and easy listening.
And I guess setting that up and putting your own needs and things aside is part of that, so that they're really comfortable to talk about whatever they need to, and that you've actually put aside that time, you've turned off your phone or whatever you've done, that you're giving them your full attention.
So true. In fact, what tends to happen in a relationship is people will catch you off guard. I need you to listen to this now. And you've got a dozen things going through your head, right? And you go, whoa, 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 okay. So if I'm going to do this well, I've actually got to put those things on the back burner. I've got to make sure that my mind is there so that they can feel that they're actually with you. So if you're in the middle of writing something or an idea, it's actually best to say, give me a minute or two. Let me just finish off a few things and I'll be with you. And then people can say, yes, I am with you.
Yeah, that's really important. Okay, so we've established the environment. The person's feeling comfortable. They're feeling that they're there for you, and they're ready to listen. So what is the A?
A is ask. Ask questions. So what did you want to tell me? So what do you want me to listen to? What do you need to share with me? And whatever they say, you just keep asking questions. And then what happened? How did that make you feel? And what was their response? Yep, I get it. What else do you need to tell me? Keep asking the questions. That's how you get the other person talking, and that's how you get to be listening yourself.
Yeah, and I guess that's another way that they feel heard. And also, you know, we don't always know ourselves. We don't even know what's going on for ourselves. And the other person asking the question can help us process it, help us get to what we're really feeling underneath. And I guess, yes, you said even ask about the emotions and the feelings too.
So emotions and feelings are actually very important. Depending on who you're talking to and who needs you to listen, sometimes feelings are very important. Sometimes it's just information, but listening is not normally just for information. It's normally for emotions, and it's normally because somebody is trying to sort something out in themselves. So you get to absorb their words so that they can work things out through you.
And I love that, because everything we've been saying, particularly about asking the questions and putting your own emotions aside, reflects exactly what the couple said by don't be a good narrator, be a good listener and listen to the feelings underneath.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's A, asking questions, really important. And the next one is R. What's the R in ears? E-A-R-S, R.
What's the R in ears? The R in ears is to repeat things back using their words. Now, just then, what I did was I repeated Caroline's question. I sort of said, what's the R in ears? Because that's what she asked me. And by repeating things in her exact words, it lets her know that not only have I heard what she said, because it's coming back at her, but it's also not being changed. So it hasn't gone through a process in my mind where I want to change some of the things that she wants to say, because that changes her view of reality. Whereas if I just reflect back by repeating the words that she uses, then she will get that feeling that I am actually listening to her.
And that's so important that they are the actual words. Otherwise, you know, you can be manipulating the other person into the way they think, or trying to control them by saying, putting your agenda and your views in. So it's so important, isn't it, to use the actual words that they've used.
So if you use the actual words that they've used, then you will get this feeling that things are just flowing. Whereas if I say something like, manipulate? No, that's not right. Agenda. I don't have an agenda. I don't know what you're talking about here. I've got more of an idea of what I want to say. You already start to feel some conflict in the little conversation that we're having here. And look, we're going to put all of this into a little role play so that people can understand why it's happening. But the thing is that what people appreciate is you just receiving whatever their words are.
That's such a, and that's a gift in itself, just that part of listening. Okay, so that's the R. We've gone through E, create an environment for listening.
Establish an environment.
Establish an environment for listening. A, ask questions. R, repeat back what they said in their own words, not your own words.
As much as possible. It becomes artificial if you try to do it all entirely.
It can be very stiff. And also, you do need to practice this, because it can sound, and it will sound very artificial when you first do it. But again, practice makes perfect.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, so E-A-R, and what is the S, Christian?
So the S is to summarize what has been said. And the thing is that this is what comes at the end. So you brought me here to listen to you talk about what's happening with the children at the moment. Is that right? And when you put together a summary like that, it actually doesn't matter if you're wrong, because the other person will just say, no, that's not what I wanted to talk to you about. And they'll just straight out correct you. And then you just listen a bit longer, and then you'll summarize again later on. But the S is to summarize.
Okay, great. So E is to establish an environment, A is to ask questions, R is to repeat in their words, and S is to summarize what they've heard so that they feel heard. And if you can get all of those, even if you can get one or two of them in your first practice run, you'll be doing well.
All right, so we're going to illustrate that in a fairly artificial situation, and we're going to take it to the workplace. We're going to take it to the workplace so that those whole couple dynamics go out the window, and we just want to show you this ears roadmap.
Okay, so in this position, I am, we're working at an organization, and we're in a team, and Christian is actually the team leader, and I've got a problem I need to discuss with him. Okay, so here we go. Hi, Christian. Look, I really need to talk to you right now.
Sure, right now. Look, I'm just in the middle of something. How long is this going to take?
Ooh, about 5 minutes. Not going to take too long.
About 5 minutes. Okay, just give me a minute or two to get these things out of the way, and then I should be able to be with you.
Okay, right. All right, can we speak about it right now?
No, I've got something that I have to get taken care of right now, okay? But I will be with you, look, in 3 minutes. Can we go to room 101?
Okay, great. Yeah, because this is a private conversation. Thanks.
Okay, so I'll see you there in 3 minutes.
Okay, great. Hi, okay.
Okay, so we are now in a different room. I have closed the door. I've put my phone on silent. I said, Caroline, this sounds really important, okay? Sorry, I had to take care of something else, but I'm all ears. I'm with you right now. What did you need to talk about?
Okay, so I have just come back from the all-department meeting, and I was representing our department there, okay? And Brett was talking about the new safety protocols. And he said, but there's one department that hasn't implemented them, and he looked directly at me, and it was just awful.
Okay, so at the inter-department meeting, you were there, and Brett sort of said there was one department that hasn't influenced, that hasn't done things, implemented things, and he looked directly at you.
Yes, he did. I mean, and it was clearly singling me out, you know, and saying, and yes, I know we haven't actually implemented the protocols, but that email only came out a week ago, okay? And, oh, it was just, I was so upset.
Okay, so you felt singled out, and you felt upset. What else did that make you feel?
Well, actually, you know, I mean, I was all there on my own. There wasn't anyone to support me. So I guess I really felt humiliated too, you know. And then everyone in the room started staring at me, you know. They knew it was me, and then it was us. And, even victimized, I think I felt.
Okay, so you didn't even just feel humiliated, but you also felt unsupported and even victimized.
Well, this isn't the first time he's done this, you know. He's done this on other occasions. I don't know if it's just me or if it's the whole department, but he's certainly got something against us.
Okay, so you feel that Brett has something against us?
Yes, I do.
When else has he done something like this?
About a month ago when, you know, he made a slight about something, you know, that we'd done in our department. And again, there wasn't a meeting that time. There was just a few of us there. But he looked straight at me, you know. And, yeah, I don't know if it's personal or what it is.
Okay, so again, he looked at you. He slighted a department, and you think it could be even personal, is that right?
Yeah, it just doesn't feel good.
Okay, so what do you want me to do about this situation?
Well, look, I'm really glad that you know about it. I needed to tell you about it because, you know, it's really been bothering me, you know. I needed to talk about it. I actually really just needed you to listen. But I guess we need to share it with the team. We obviously need to implement the protocols and everything, but yeah.
Okay, so you'd been at the department meeting this morning. Brett kind of singled you out by talking about who has or who hasn't implemented something. You felt humiliated and even victimized, and it sounds like you just needed me to listen to that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks really much for listening. It's really been bothering me, and I've been carrying it for a while.
Okay, and from that point, I as a team leader would go into a problem-solving session to say, okay, what can we do about it? But that was actually the listening section, and all that I was doing in a very dry way was actually just following the listening ears roadmap.
Yes, so first of all, Christian set up the environment. He wasn't able to speak straight away, but he pushed things aside, which was great, even though I was insistent.
He certainly was.
And then when we were in a quiet place, he let me talk, so he just listened, active listening.
And have to ask questions first.
Yes, started asking questions and brought more out about the story, which I really needed to tell. And then he noticed my emotions, and he started repeating what happened, and also started asking what I felt about it. I started sharing some of the emotions, but he asked more because he was listening for those emotions.
And then I reflected things back to Caroline and repeated things using her words as much as possible. So words like Brett, singled out, victimized, things like that, personalized, so that Caroline knew that I was not distorting what she was saying.
Yeah, so that's obviously the EARS roadmap, EARS.
And at the end, I gave that summary, which basically said that she had been to that meeting, Brett had done this, and she needed me to listen. And that was a fine enough summary. And look, I wasn't a great listener through that. All that I did was follow that roadmap, and in that, it gave me a framework just to put aside my own issues, because I had things that were going on in my mind in that situation, so that I could be there as Caroline, as a co-worker, needed me to be at that moment.
How about we do a couple one now? I've got a little scenario worked. I'm throwing this at Christian. He doesn't know anything about this. And we'll do a little couples one, see how it goes for couples. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds fine. Totally.
Okay. Christian, I need to talk to you about something.
Sorry, I'm hammering something in here. Does it have to be now?
Yeah, it does, because I'm getting really upset about something that happened last night.
Okay, give me a few minutes and I will be with you. So 3 minutes.
Okay. All right. Is it okay now to talk?
It hasn't been 3 minutes.
Come on, Christian, go with me in this.
All right, okay, so let's sit down here. How long is this going to take? Do you want a coffee or...
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I'd love a coffee, thanks.
Okay, good. I'll put on the coffee, and it's burbling away, and then I sit next to Caroline and say, Caroline, what did you need me to listen to?
Well, it was actually about something that happened last night when we were having dinner with John and Jan. And you arrived late, and I was a little bit upset about that.
I wasn't late.
You were late.
Was I really late?
Yes, you were.
Okay, so how did that make you feel?
Well, it didn't make me feel good. I mean, it's not the first time that it's happened, you know, and I felt, yeah, I felt embarrassed. I felt uncomfortable. I had to make excuses for you again. And yeah, I don't know. I to tell you the truth, I really felt let down.
Okay, so I can see this is going to be a bit more difficult than I thought it was going to be. So I'm getting up to get the coffee, all right? So I'm going to make the coffee. I'm going to come back the coffee. And I say, look, I'm sorry that I was late. I'm sorry that it put you in an awkward position. How did it make you feel?
Well, yeah, it made me feel that you haven't, you know, been there for me in those other times, you know, when, like, you know, that's, I know it's not a value of yours, you like, you know, a little bit more, it doesn't matter if, you know, someone's 5 or 10 minutes late, and I know I'm much more of a rules person, but, you know, it was just hard. I felt that you weren't, you know, the things that I needed in this situation, you weren't able to bring to the party.
Okay, so you felt that I wasn't there for you, and you felt that I sort of tolerate being late, and that you tend to like to have things more on time, and as you said, you're more of a rules type of a person, but you sort of felt really let down.
Yeah, that's actually it. You're exactly right. I felt let down, and yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's what I felt, let down.
Okay. So is there anything else you need to tell me about that, Caroline?
Well, actually, I wouldn't have mind if you just try a little bit more next time. I mean, I, you know, it was a small thing, really, you know, but I'm really glad that you listened. But, yeah, if you could try a little bit more, you know, we're not going to get this right all the time, but I really needed to just to talk to you about it.
Okay, so you took me aside to talk about what happened with dinner last night with John and Jan, and how I was late again, and how you felt let down, and you'd like me to be able to try.
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Okay. Enjoy your coffee.
Thanks. Okay, I just threw that at Christian, and by the way, he's not late. I just came up with a fun little scenario, but yeah. It was a bit of fun.
Okay, the important thing was that I actually didn't promise that I'd be on time, okay? In fact, saying that I would even try to get there on time next time is actually part of the problem-solving process. It's not part of the listening process. But that is what Caroline wanted to get across to me in that particular role-play scenario. So I had to listen to that. That was her need. She actually articulated her need really well. And at one point, she actually said, I just need you to try, you know, because I feel let down if you don't even try. So without promising that I would get it right, I thought it was fair enough to decide to try. So part of the listening process is to allow somebody to get their message across to you rather than block it. Okay, and I could have blocked that at any time by sort of saying, well, I do try, or well, that's just me, or, you know, take it or leave it, right? There are a whole lot of things that could have become a block in the listening. But to listen to somebody means actually accepting what they want to say without promises you can't keep.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you are going to get a little bit defensive if they're attacking you or challenging you on something.
Well, that's why I went up to get the coffee, okay? Because I could tell that this was not just listening, you know.
Aha! So you had a little bit of a cool down moment, and that's interesting because that is one of the tips that the couples gave us. Take a little bit of a few moments to cool down if you can't, you know, this is more in a conflict situation, but it was a semi-conflict situation. It could have escalated into a conflict situation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So what listening does is disarming, because this seems to be an ongoing issue in these role people person's marriage, and Caroline wants to get that across. So she will continue to do that, but I can't make promises that I can't keep. But there was a point in which I felt attacked in that really small role play. And yeah, by going up and getting the coffee, that gave me a moment just to sort of say, cool down, because this is a listening session. I am there just to listen to what Caroline has to say. So I didn't put in my judgments. I didn't become defensive. I accepted what needed to be said.
And what was really lovely is you took that moment to shelf your own emotions too and really listen. Now, I mean, that's, again, very aspirational. And when we're in a relationship, we're not always going to get there.
Yeah, so there's a few more things about that. So we're talking about some of the other aspects of listening through that. One of the important aspects is, as Caroline just said, to shelve your own emotions, to shelve your own judgments, to shelve your own beliefs. Because when somebody needs you to listen, it's not about you. They don't want to know your opinion, okay? That becomes a conversation. But when you are listening, it's about their opinions. It's about the way that they feel, even if it's just for a few minutes. And the other thing was, listening is really just about being there. Caroline was left with these emotions from a mock dinner that we had last night, and all that I was doing really by listening was to be there with her in these emotions that she was feeling.
And I did feel hurt. I did feel heard with that.
Yeah, so Caroline, what do you mean by feeling heard? What did that feel like for you?
Well, I could tell that you were there for me.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. When you feel heard, you know that the person is really putting themselves aside and they're for you. And I think that's, again, a bit of altruism coming in there, okay? So putting the other person's needs before their own needs. And that was our second glue secret of what makes marriages last. So that's what I actually felt. And I felt, you know, there's I think that helps grow the love a bit more too.
Well, actually, yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying there. You know, feeling heard means that you've got that feeling that somebody is just with you, rather than me judging your emotions or me chiming in with what I think you should do about that. All of that, as you said, was shelved so that you felt that the space was yours simply to be yourself and to be heard. There's nothing like it, just being heard.
Yeah, and I think what comes into that too is I'm not double guessing what your response will be. I'm not thinking, oh, this is the way he's responded in the past, he's probably going to respond that way. But because I know that you're going to be there for me and really listen to me, I don't have to worry about past habits and past things that we've got caught in our conversation, because you've made a choice to put that aside and really just listen.
Okay, so let's go through that roadmap, because that's what we want to bring home to people. The idea is that you just have to have this in your mind to become a better listener. Now, you will notice then that Caroline again was quite insistent that she had to be spoken to now, there and then. Whereas if you don't have the time, then you have to say no, because you'll end up not listening. Okay, and sometimes if it's a really important conversation, you might say, look, how long is this going to take? And if they say, look, this is about an hour conversation, we've got to have an hour. Okay, can we do that on Friday? Okay, you may need to schedule it in advance, because they have to have that feeling that you are there 100% for them. Even at Caroline's insistence, I felt a little flustered and pressured to sort of get that environment to the place where it was conducive to easy talking and easy listening. And so there are a few other things to establish that environment. We took the time, the space, we actually sat down, I actually made a cup of coffee, and that means, that signals that you are there for at least the 5 or 10 minutes that it takes to drink a coffee. And that's good. That's a big signal saying, I'm actually going to be there for you. So that's the E. There's a lot of things in all those little things that we do to set time aside.
And I think that each couple has their own little way of setting time aside, like having a coffee together or taking a walk or whatever it is. We all have our own little rituals, and that's really unique to you as a couple. So whatever works for you is the best.
Yeah, so Caroline and I will actually talk and walk. We will actually go for a walk to go for talks, and as a therapist, I will say to couples to have at least one-hour session alone together, where you're dedicating your time just to listen to each other. What's going right? What's not going right? And in that time, it becomes a dedicated space for listening.
And I know we're harping on about E environment, but I think so many people forget this, because it says, okay, I'm putting the world aside and we're just here together. It's just us.
Okay, so let's go through that scenario and let's say we don't establish the environment. Okay, so I'm doing a little bit of housework and you come up to me and you need to talk to me. I'm hammering away at a wall.
Christian?
Yeah, yeah.
Christian?
What?
I need to talk to you.
Yeah, okay, okay. What do you need to talk about?
No, I need you to stop. I need you to talk.
I've got to get this done, okay? Why do you have to pick now?
Because I'm really upset about this and I need to talk right now.
I've just got to get this finished. I'll be with you in a sec.
Oh, please. Really?
So you'll see that we're really quickly into an argument. And that's how easily it can go in a couple's relationship, right? Whereas if I could just see, okay, Caroline needs me to listen. And if I can then just establish that environment and I don't have to speak to her right there and then, okay? That's going to be hard for her, but she will know that when I do decide to lay things aside, that I will be there for her 100% of the time.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so that's the E. Set in the right environment. Set the time aside. Set the emotions aside. Set your agenda and even your productivity aside to be there for the other person.
That's right. And quite frankly, that's the most important thing, because if you're actually sitting there with somebody, then they know that you're already there with them. So you've already done what you need to, and you're, 90% there. The A to ask questions, that's self-explanatory. And in that little interchange, I asked Caroline questions and she had the floor so that she could say what she needed to. And you'll notice with the R for repeating what Caroline says, you kind of do your best, okay? You pick out a few words and say, oh, there's an important word. I've got to reflect that one back. Or there's an important word, so that it just flows and Caroline knows that you're not changing anything that you're saying. And at the end, you would have heard a little summary as an S.
And obviously, if you're doing this as a couple, the other person might say, oh, you're doing that ears thing that psychiatrist told you to do. Well, good. That's okay. Because there's still that opportunity to practice until, you've really learned how to do this.
That's right, actually. That's right. If you just sort of say, yes, I'm trying to do that, what are they going to say? You shouldn't? No. They're actually going to say, thank you, because it's an act of love that you're learning a bit of a skill to be there for somebody. And you don't have to get it right. This is not high-grade listening that we're talking to here.
We don't get it right. I can tell you, those emotions, they take over and off we go into our own world and our own things that we want to talk about.
Now, one thing that I have to hammer home is that listening is not problem solving. Because when somebody has something that they need to tell you, like Caroline was there talking about you being late, she actually wants her problem solved, okay? But it is a separate issue. it was important just to listen to how Caroline was feeling about that and what she wanted to say about that. And okay, even trying is part of the problem-solving process. But that's quite normal. After listening, it's quite normal to go, okay, what are we going to do about this? We did it in the office scenario. We did it in this scenario. And that's mostly what happens. But you will feel when it changes, when it goes, okay, I've listened. Now we can start problem-solving.
Yeah. And I mean, there's obviously times when there's the problem solving times. And we always make the joke of, when I come up and I say to you, Christian, I need that suitcase up there. And then if you think it's a listening situation, what would you say?
Okay. So the situation that Caroline's putting together is if somebody complains that this other person is trying to problem solve all the time. And then Caroline comes to me and says, Karen, look at that suitcase. Christian, look at that suitcase. And I said, yeah, nice suitcase. Well, what's it doing there? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't asked the suitcase. And she said, well, I want you to put it up there. Well, I didn't know that you wanted me to solve your problem for you, okay? So sometimes a talking session will be to solve a problem, and sometimes it'll just be listening to the feelings behind.
I think that's a really important distinction to make, yeah. And obviously, you sort it out as a couple.
Yeah. So, look, I'm going to go on to talk about deeper listening, okay? Because couples will tend to think, oh, I'm not good at listening, and then just leave it at that. But you actually are. I've just got to talk about a few situations where you are good at listening. I talked a little bit about music, but now I want to take you into the theatre. So, Caroline, what happens when there's a live play and people are there watching? Who's doing the talking? Who's doing the listening?
Well, there's a little bit of listening going on stage between the actors in the dialogue, but the most important people that are listening are the audience. They've come to listen. They've come to watch, yes, but they've come to listen. And they've also come to listen to the feelings underneath with the actors.
In fact, the thing that we enjoy about good plays is seeing how the emotions get portrayed in the characters, the relationship between the characters, in the words that the actors are using. And it's an emotional experience. And through all of this, you're just sitting in a chair, watching and listening.
Yeah, and I guess it's each play has not only a plot line and a storyline that it carries through, but it's also got an emotional storyline. So it takes you on an emotive journey with the characters, and so you're listening on two different levels there. It's good practice for listening, actually, when you think about it.
It's very good practice for listening. In fact, I want to take you a bit inside the brain as to what happens when you're sitting there watching a play. Now, I do mean a play rather than a movie, because something different happens with a movie, because there aren't people in front of us acting all this out in a movie. We go into passive mode and we feel that we can control the space. Whereas when you're in a play situation and you're sitting there in the stalls and you're, I don't know what, 20 feet from the stage and you're watching people doing things live, the first thing there is respect. You're not just going to get up and say, oh, where's the popcorn? Or can I turn it up a bit? Or, you know, as you would when you're watching television, because you're entirely in charge of your space at home while you're watching a movie on television. But when you're in the theatre and you're watching and you're listening, an amazing thing happens in your brain. And that is, you don't just hear and see, but you put your attention into what you're listening to, and your attention into what you're seeing. And that means that for a while, your frontal lobe gets focused on what you are seeing and what you're listening. And you're actually attentive to whatever's going to come in. And you're wondering where the next scene may go or what direction the plot may take. But you're actually absorbed in what's going on in front of you. You may have some thoughts and feelings going on inside you, but you actually tuck them aside in a different part of your brain, okay? Freud called this the preconscious, but the actual conscious mind is with the people on stage. I know that sounds a bit complex, but something like that is happening when you listen to your partner on the couch. It means that you are watching them and you are listening to their words, not about you.
Mm. And I think also respect comes into that too a little bit, that you're respecting who they are in your life and their feelings over yours and what they're going through over what you're going through too.
Well, that's exactly right, Caroline, and that's why I talked about the respect that you have in a theatre to begin with. It's a space where you can't just do anything that you want to do. When we have a television in our lounge room, you can do what you want. You can wear what you want. You can eat what you want. You can say what you want. You can make your judgments, you can express your opinions, you can swear at the television, whatever you want, nobody cares. But when you go into the theatre, or if you're listening to somebody and what they're saying, you don't do all of that. You sit there and you actively allow their words to penetrate into you so that you go, ah, that's what's going on. Your brain is actually trying to make connections to see what their life experience is. They become the focus.
So going to the theatre is good practice for listening then?
Very good practice for listening.
Okay, great. And I like that idea that you're talking about respect, that there's someone else that you've given that attention to. So it's the same respect needs to be offered to your partner too then.
Well, it does. It does. And now I want to take us to another situation. I've done a lot of psychotherapy in my work as a psychiatrist. And psychotherapy, in a sense, is all about listening. In fact, through listening, we can actually solve our problems and move forward as people. And look, this actually has far-reaching consequences. But let me just take you into my psychiatry office.
Sounds good. Let's go there. You've done a lot of listening in that office.
Well, but that's the whole thing. So the first thing is I've established an environment for listening. So in that office, if I'm running late, I will tell people that I'm running late, but they know that after I close that door and we're alone in that office, that I am there 100% for them. The phone is off the hook or the phone is turned off, and they will know that for the next hour, this is a dedicated space for them.
How wonderful. And then they feel, wow, I'm listened to.
So that's the E in the ears listening roadmap. And then I will just ask simple questions like, what's happened in the last week? And how did you feel? And then what happened? And all of these things are listening techniques. And all the time, I'm just asking them questions so that they can talk about things. And I have shelved my own beliefs, judgments, and my own emotions somewhere in my mind. So we've got that space just to listen to them.
Great, fantastic.
So then I will go through the rest of the roadmap, reflect and repeat things in their own words and summarize the situation. And depending on what's happening, we will actually go into a problem-solving situation where we'll say, right, okay, this is what we're going to do about it. And then that, in a way, ends the listening session. But listening itself helps people. Listening itself is therapeutic. Listening itself is healing. So I've had some sessions where people have cried for the whole session. They didn't even get some words out. But I was there with them just to listen to their intense crying for almost an hour. And at the end, they go out and they simply say, thank you. And I simply say, that's okay, I'll see you next week. And of course, then next week, we then have the problem-solving session, if you like, you know, when we talk about, okay, so what was all that about? What do we need to do? But one session was just listening.
And are there some people that you see that you listen to for a long time to build up trust with or anything like that? Is that part of that?
It's all about trust. Sometimes the listening goes on for weeks, months, years. Listening is something that builds up so much trust because we as human beings have this thing called the anterior cingulate gyrus in our brains, which is a part of our brain through which we're connected. And this part of the brain develops feelings of empathy and trust and connects us so that when we make eye contact, when we hear each other's voice, when we see the little movements that we're making in front of each other, and when we're tuned in to each other, we actually make a connection as human beings.
That's wonderful. Wow, listening for so many times. Well, we have really...
So I just want to talk about the far-reaching consequences this can have, because there was a psychologist by the name of Marshall Rosenberg, and he used his listening skills in the Middle East, where he was talking to some Arab people who had lost their children because of US shells that were bombing their city. Okay, and he was talking with them, and some started whispering, death to Americans. And he was an American, and all of a sudden the presentation that he was giving was taking on another turn. And instead of getting defensive, he just said, yes, I'm an American. Do you need to tell me something? And then this person started talking to him in a very strong, threatening way, because he had lost his child thanks to some bombs that were made in America. And he just listened and he said, you're feeling very angry about this. Yes, I'm really angry about this. And he would keep going and keep going and keep going. And in front of a presentation of about 60 people, after about 20 minutes of pure listening, this person who was Arab and was very angry at the presenter, at the end of that 20 minutes, he had invited him home for dinner. Said, do you want to come and share some dinner with me? And They hadn't solved any problems, but this person felt heard. They felt listened to. They felt that somebody on an opposite side was going, oh my gosh, this is another human being going through something very, very painful. And they built up trust, and they built up rapport, and they built up this empathy between them. And look, I just wanted to say that because that's the power of listening.
Fantastic. Thank you. I've not heard that story before. That's so powerful. And of course, you can take listening into other areas of your life, and you can practice it in other areas of your life too, with friends, listening in the theatre, listening in nature, listening everywhere, so that you get those skills.
So just to summarize that, if you in your relationship are in a situation where, let's say, your partner's really angry with you, or your partner's really confused, or just really hurt about something, if you can just sit and say, I'm here to listen, and then do nothing else but listen, and whatever gets said at you, you just go, uh-huh, and then what happened? Or, what else do you need to tell me? And you do nothing else. You solve no problems. You don't give a single comment, but you just go, yep, I'm beginning to understand. And that feeling of understanding and somebody else just being there for you can work miracles. In fact, quite frankly, it's an easy way out of an argument, because you don't actually have to do anything. You just have to understand completely the other person's point of view. And you'll feel all these feelings inside you, but if you can shelve them and just be there for the other person, that's listening.
Not easy to do. It took our couples 40 plus years to get to that point, but they still brought it home that listening was the number one skill for conflict resolution. And you've just given a great example of that.
Yeah, it is. So, what have we looked at today? My gosh, we've covered quite some ground today. We looked at listening, and we went fairly quickly to the EARS listening roadmap. E, to establish the environment. A, to ask questions. R, to repeat and reflect things in somebody's own words. And S, to summarize the situation. And if you take home just that, it will make you a better listener. Because while the other person's talking, instead of having judgments and feelings yourself, you're going, okay, what am I supposed to do now? Okay, the A, okay, ask questions. So having that go through your mind is actually much better for the listening skills. And the other thing is, I hope that we've given you a flavor for what listening can do for actually world peace, but also couples peace. That's what our couples that have been married 40 plus years told us. The number one way to handle conflict is to listen.
And we'd like to finish off by saying thank you for listening to us. It's been wonderful to have your company as always. We'll be back in another month with another Resilient Relationships talk show. So please join us. Go to our website. We've got plenty of other material there. Take care until we see you again. And remember, your relationship is your greatest asset.
Bye for now.
We'll see you next time. Take care.